J1.
Number 24A.
Yes, and we come now to that idea of love blesses all. And bless has a rich meaning of a gift, a favor. It means to pronounce a wish of happiness to one. So again, the fact is that love only knows love. Divine love's only blessing or gift is perfection and happiness for all. Divine love's only gift to those who ignorantly resist and curse the realm of love is love. Love only knows love, and therefore love can only give love. And we just think of that, that all that is going on is that everyone is being forced by love through suffering or science to accept divine love's gift of perfection and happiness. Therefore, there is only the law of universal blessing and happiness. There is no law of penalty. Every moment we are forgiven and pardoned from our ignorance. There is no law that says we must suffer. Every moment we are free to accept science and to accept divine love's gift of happiness and perfection. And we go on and we see another idea. And that is that love knows no temptation. So, if the fact is that love only knows love, and perfection only knows perfection, then in the realm of perfection, imperfection is excluded. In the realm of wholeness, separateness is excluded. In the realm of understanding, error is excluded. Why? Because in the realm of Christ understanding, we cannot be tempted or fooled into believing in error. Why? Because we understand the truth and the error is seen as a self-evident lie. Now, there is something important to see about Mrs. Eddy's writings, and I think it's pointed out in two statements. She makes two statements. One, she says, on page 17 in Science and Health, "And God leadeth us not into temptation." And then on page 22 in Science and Health, she says, "Love is not hasty to deliver us from temptation, for love means that we shall be tried and purified." Now here there seems to be an apparent dichotomy, but this is just Mrs. Eddy's dimensional reasoning. She says, "And God leadeth us not into temptation." When our consciousness is in the realm of love, or the third degree, then the one mind, our mind, as love, as divine understanding, cannot be tempted or fooled by lies. But when she says, "Love is not hasty to deliver us from temptation," this means that if our consciousness is still lingering in the first degree realm, that our ignorance and misunderstanding can be tempted into believing in a lie. And it's at this point we are tempted and tempted and tempted and tempted by lies until we give up our ignorant ways and go out from divine understanding. So one can't say that it is we've done something horrible if we backslide and we're tempted. It just means that we must take hold of ourselves and get a better and stronger foothold and not budge from the standpoint of mind, spirit, soul, principle, life, truth, and love. Mrs. Eddy says, "Truth is revealed. It needs only to be practiced." And I think this is one of the key points, especially after we've now made the effort to go from mind to spirit to soul to principle to life to truth to love. Truth has been revealed to us. What now? It needs only to be practiced. What keeps us from backsliding? What keeps us from yielding to temptation? It is practice, 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 practice. I'm not sure if we've mentioned it here in class. I know a few of us have talked about it. Again, if we've mentioned it, then I just repeat myself. If not, I go on. But it's about the musician who once said, "If I don't practice for 1 or 2 days, I know it. If I don't practice for 3 or 4 days, my colleagues know it. If I don't practice for a week, the whole world knows it." Practice makes perfect. So we must practice and practice and practice. I can say that there's only one thing that we could be condemned for, so to speak, in a way, and that's for not trying and not practicing what has been revealed to us, shunning it, ignoring it, turning our back to it. But if we are practicing and really trying, one cannot be condemned for backsliding, being tempted. But we are only see that we must practice and practice and practice. That is the key. Practice going out from what we have been learning. We go on to the fact that love knows no error. Now in the Bible, in Joshua 6, we read about the capture of Jericho by Joshua and his followers. This biblical story just symbolically illustrates our journey from mind to spirit to soul to principle to life to truth and to love, where our Christ understanding simultaneously analyzes, uncovers, and destroys all error, and then opens the way for us to experience the realm of love which knows no error, where error is excluded, has no contest, where all questions are finally answered, and where love is a universal solvent which produces only harmony. So the Joshua story illustrates how the children of Israel went 7 times around the walls of Jericho. And Mrs. Eddy states this about this story: "The 7 times correspond to the 7 days of creation. The 6 days are to find out the nothingness of matter. The 7th is the day of rest, when it is found that evil is not, and good is all." So, in that realm where love knows no error, she will say again, to infinite, ever-present love, all is love. And there is no error, no sin, sickness, nor death. It's the 7th day of rest. We go on to an idea that characterizes love, and it's that of redemption. And redemption means deliverance from bondage, distress, or from liability to any evil by paying an equivalent. So in our journey, we have seen that our Christ understanding has redeemed us or delivered us from the bondage of misunderstanding. Our Christ understanding is the redeemer. Our Christ understanding is also the ransom we pay for redemption or deliverance. Therefore, it's our Christ understanding which brings us into a state of redemption, deliverance, or a state of complete salvation. And we can say this is the miracle of grace, that we cannot escape complete redemption or salvation. But actually, we know to the realm of love, redemption is not a miracle, because perfection is our natural state of being. Now we go on to another idea of love, and it's that of protection. Our perfect understanding of mind, spirit, soul, principle, life, truth, and love is our protection against all error and preserves our safety always. So if we are ever given to this temptation, then, of giving a smallest amount of reality to error, then this may seemingly rob us of our immediate protection. We go on then to holiness. And holy has a root meaning of to heal, hold, whole, and all. So the sense of holy is whole, entire, complete, perfect, sound, unimpaired. It's free from sin and sinful affections, pure in heart. So in the realm of love, we are holy. Glory has a root meaning which coincides with clear, and the primary sense of glory seems to be to open, to expand, to enlarge. Glory is brightness and splendor. Glorification means the act of giving glory or of ascribing honors to. It means exaltation to honor or dignity. So our Christ consciousness in the realm of love imparts an atmosphere of glory, of clear transparency, brightness, and splendor. And our Christ consciousness also contributes to the glorification of principle. We come on then to another idea, and it's that of rest. And as we have seen, the Joshua and his warriors went around the walls of Jericho 6 times in order to come to the 7th time around, which was the point of rest. What does rest mean? It has a root meaning of to pause, to cease, to be quiet. It means to cease from action, to be quiet or still, to be undisturbed, to cease from war, to be at peace. In the realm of love, we are at rest. We have ceased our warfare with error. We are at rest. We are at rest with the peaceful understanding that all is mind, spirit, soul, principle, life, truth, and love. We rest in action. Therefore, our rest is not an inactivity or a stagnation, but our rest comes from our enjoyment of peaceful, undisturbed activity. And we go on to that idea of peace. And peace in a general sense means a state of quiet or tranquility, freedom from disturbance or agitation, heavenly rest, the happiness of heaven, harmony, concord, a state of reconciliation between parties at variance. And how we say, oh, we would love peace and rest. Well, in the realm of love, we are at peace. We are free from all disturbances and agitation. We are free from all opposing arguments. We are free from accusers and enemies and strife. And it's because of our Christ consciousness, which is at one with divine reality. But we must never drop the standard of perfection and allow ourselves to be tempted by lies, which then temporarily seems to rob us of our peace and freedom. We come then to plan. And as we have seen, the law of planning is a law of love. And it's a law which states that all activity is directed according to one plan, towards one purpose, to present perfection in ever new variations of perfection. And because each one of us is the one mind, we therefore live and move within the realm of principle minds one planned. And each one of us presents perfection in ever new ways. And by doing this, we are fulfilling our individual role within the one collective and universal plan of love. Mrs. Eddy says that it's the design of love to reform the sinner. Well, as we have seen then, because the plan of love is the only plan, we are being forced to accept this one divine plan. Now, we come to the last idea which characterizes love on our list, and it's that of Christianity. And all that we have seen up to now about the realm of love is true about Christianity. Because the realm of love is the realm of Christianity or Christianity or Christ doing or Christ activity. And I think we just will let Mrs. Eddy speak now about Christianity. And she says, Christianity, with the crown of love upon her brow. Here Mrs. Eddy illustrates that the true essence of Christianity is love. And she goes on, Christianity, with the crown of love upon her brow, must be their queen of life. Here she is speaking to the Christian Scientists and saying that we must always keep the crown of love upon our heads. We must always go out from perfection. She goes on and says, Christianity, as Jesus taught it, was not a creed nor a system of ceremonies, but it was the demonstration of divine love, casting out error and healing the sick. Christianity is the demonstration of divine love, meaning that in the realm of love, we demonstrate Christianity or perfect Christ activity. But Christianity, the demonstration of divine love, is casting out error and healing the sick. Again, we cannot escape from redemption. And the Bible speaks about Christianity, as we well know, and in St. John 13, Jesus gave us a new commandment of Christianity. He says, a new commandment I give unto you, that ye love one another, as I have loved you, that ye also love one another. The law of universal reflection, as we have seen, is the law of love. It shows how we love one another. And it shows we do it by my love for myself as the one principal mind, my love for all others, and all others' loves for themselves, and all others' love for me. This is just showing what Jesus says, the commandment I give unto you, that ye love one another. We obey then this law of universal reflection. But without a scientific understanding of our true identity, as the one principal mind, you see, in that law of universal reflection, we say, it's my love for myself as the one principal mind. And it's my love for all others as the one principal mind. It's our love for their true identity. And without this love and scientific love of one's true identity, there cannot be true Christianity or true love. Love is not a question of emotion or sentimental feelings. So in order to be a true Christian, we must love our neighbors. But we know that this does not mean that we must love our neighbor's false or wrong action. But we love our neighbor's true identity in spite of their seeming faults. And to be a true Christian, we first love then their true identity, and then second, at the same time, understand the nothingness of their seeming faults, which are just the effect of mortal mind or misunderstanding. Mrs. Eddy speaks of this true Christian attitude in this way when she says of Jesus that he best understood the nothingness of material life and intelligence, and the mighty actuality of all-inclusive God-good. These were the two cardinal points of mind healing, or Christian Science, which armed him with love. So when we maintain a perfect relationship with our neighbor, we are actually maintaining a perfect relationship with ourselves, because our neighbor is ourselves. We are all the one principal mind. And if we have a negative attitude towards our neighbor, if we're always criticizing our neighbor and degrading our neighbor, we are actually degrading principal mind and ourselves. And we will just suffer from our own self-criticism and condemnation. So finally, we see we have been in the realm of love. And it's a wonderful realm, a realm of true Christianity, a realm of the third degree where all mortal mind disappears and man as principal idea appears. And Mrs. Eddy just shows this realm of love by saying this: human sense of deity yields to the divine sense, even as a material sense of personality yields to the incorporeal sense of God and man as the infinite principle and infinite idea, as one father with his universal family held in the gospel of love. And that is the whole key to the realm of love, where our whole human sense of God has yielded to the sense of infinite principle and its infinite idea, and this infinite principle and its many individualized forms are held in the gospel of love. Now, we go on. And it's nice to always stay within a realm of perfection and always looking for perfection, but we must always take our counterfeits of love. What is that that tempts the realm of love? What are those ideas that oppose love? And we find these counterfeits if you turn to your illustrative material on love counterfeits. And we also find them in the Compendium 10, page 288 in the negative section. And the first one we come to is fear. Now, this is important, because fear seems to be the greatest so-called obstacle that we must overcome. We know we all are tempted by fear. And all fear arises as a result of our misunderstanding of the realm of love and the realm of perfection. But with our understanding of the realm of love, we shall have freedom from all fear. Fear is a feeling of alarm which is caused by the expectation of danger, pain, or disaster. Our expectation of danger, of lack, of death, of sickness, of enemies causes fear. And in turn, our fear causes all forms of inharmony, such as sickness and pain, and in extreme cases, cruelty. Therefore, our high concentration of fearful thoughts and feelings of alarm bring about a situation that can cause the very thing we fear. If we fear sickness, then our high concentration of fearful thoughts and feeling about sickness, this disturbed mental and emotional state, can in turn cause sickness. The sphere reaches immensity. The Bible says, in 1 John 4, there is no fear in love. Perfect love casts out fear. He that feareth is not made perfect in love. And Mrs. Eddy says this: to hold yourself superior to sin, because God made you superior to it and governs man, is true wisdom. To fear sin is to misunderstand the power of love and the divine science of being in man's relation to God, to doubt his government and distrust his omnipotent care. To hold yourself superior to sickness and death is equally wise and is in accordance with divine science. To fear them is impossible when you fully apprehend God and know that they are no part of his creation. Fear is the greatest form of ignorance there is. It is a complete denial of the realm of love. In the realm of love, the one principal mind is inseparably united to its idea, and thus can never be robbed of its manifestation. We are principal idea, and we are so eternally. The question is, where else can we be here and now but in the realm of love? How else can we be but inseparably united with the one principal mind, our mind? Fear is just an ignorant state of consciousness. In reality, in the realm of love, from the comprehensive dimensional view, nothing can ever happen to us because we are principle idea eternally. We go on to hate. Hate, a little devil that tempts us and tries to take us away from our standpoint of perfection. But it's just a seeming devil, a seeming temptation. And hate just arises from a misunderstanding of the realm of love, the realm of oneness. Because in love, we understand that we are principle idea, and that we identify and reflect each other infinitely. And therefore, hate is excluded. Hate and antipathy basically mean intense dislike. And hate, like fear, is a state of consciousness. It is in our power to keep our consciousness in conformity with the realm of love, and thereby shut out all hateful thoughts. We must maintain the Christ attitude towards everyone. Love them for their true spiritual identity, and at the same time, understand the nothingness of their seeming faults. We go on to enmity. And enmity is just deep-seated hatred. It's a quality of being an enemy. Hate and enmity denote a state of opposition. If the oneness of consciousness is broken, then dualism arises. Opposition arises, thus opening the way for hate and enmity. But you see, from a state of opposition and dualism can come many false beliefs which try to oppose love, such false beliefs as envy, jealousy, victimization, favoritism, vengeance, cruelty, malice, treachery, curse, and damnation. Now these are things that tempt us, and I think we should see them for what they are. Envy. Envy is the belief that others are superior, that others are already more successful than we are, and already have obtained what we desire to possess. Jealousy is the fear that all others will rob us of the affection of one whom we love, or others will enjoy some advantage which we desire for ourselves. Now, jealousy is nearly allied to envy. Jealousy is experienced before a good is robbed from us. Envy is experienced after it seems to be obtained by others. Jealousy and envy are denials of the fact that perfection is available to all and everyone is fulfilled. Victimization is the belief that we may suffer harm or loss, or that we may be taken advantage of. Favoritism is the belief that we will be the victim of unjust partiality. Victimization and favoritism are the denials of the fact that everyone receives spiritually what belongs to his wholeness. Vengeance. It is the belief that others must be punished for an offense. Cruelty. It is the belief that one must give pain and distress to others, whether necessary or not. Vengeance and cruelty arise from the fear or belief that perfection is not available for all.